You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. This past week saw multiple polls on public support for Te Tiriti o Waitangi in lawmaking. In RNZ's Reid Research poll, while 38.1% thought Te Tiriti had too much influence, 34.1% thought it was just right, and 16.6% called for more influence. The complex array of approaches to Te Tiriti were also on full display this weekend, with politicians and MPs talking about what it means to them. Some of the narratives shared, especially by the ACT Party, who have previously framed Te Tiriti's role in politics as taking away rights from Pākehā and favouring Māori. To discuss all of these attitudes, I spoke to Senior Lecturer of Sociology at the University of Auckland, Avril Bell. So, in your article, you talk about a recent RNZ poll on Te Tiriti. What were the results like? And you talk about how they were presented. What did they show in the article, and what more was there to them?
Yeah, that was really interesting because it was an RNZ Reid Research poll, and the question was something like, I've forgotten how the wording of the question was, but, you know, about basically asking people about what they thought about the role of Te Tiriti in our government or in our politics. And the most common response was that people thought there was too much emphasis on the treaty in our politics, right? That was a bit over 40% of the respondents. And that was the headline they put on the news coverage of it. But when I read the article, if you put together with almost as many people, like 36% or 34%, I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly now, who thought that the role of the treaty in our politics was about right. And then there was 16.6%, I think it was, who thought that it needed to have more emphasis and more place in our politics. So I thought, you know, actually, if you put together those two figures, the 40-something percent who thought it was about right and the 16.6% who thought there should be more emphasis on the treaty or more space given to it, really, what that said was, you know, a majority, just a bare majority, I think it added up to 50.7 or something, but a majority of the people who responded to the survey actually felt positively about the role of the treaty in politics and wanted it to have even more emphasis or more place. You know, so I thought it was just kind of unfortunate that the news coverage that I saw had emphasised what I consider the negative, you know, the view that there's too much focus on the treaty, and failed to kind of point out what I saw as the positive side. So that's what inspired me to write that opinion piece that you saw.
And if we're thinking about, I guess, how this poll result interacts with what we've seen over the past few years, you know, with the Treaty Principles Bill response, do you think the public is, you know, in majority supportive of incorporating Te Tiriti more or certainly protecting and holding Te Tiriti quite important in Aotearoa?
Well, you know, if we consider that the pollsters, I think those pollsters are people who are making an effort to sample representatively, right? It's not like a random radio station. Sorry, not being mean about radio stations, but, you know, sometimes you get radio stations say, you know, call in or send us an answer to some question, and you just get some random group. But they will have got a representative sample and over 1,000 people. So if we take that as, you know, reasonable indicator, then I think we're probably split, you know, as a population, we're relatively split around between people who are positive about the treaty and people who are not, but with a bit of an emphasis on the positive people. But I think, you know, so I think whatever this government has done over the last few years, I don't think it has eroded the positive view that has developed over a much longer time period.
And a bit more on our government as well. We saw at Waitangi this weekend party leaders talking about Te Tiriti. We saw Chris Luxon in his speech talking about the treaty articles and his interpretation of them. We also saw ACT Party leader David Seymour talking about colonisation being a net positive for Aotearoa. Mm-hmm. What do you make of these speeches?
To be honest, I didn't listen to them. I didn't listen to any of the politician speeches, so I'm only going on what I've seen reported. What I feel like about, I mean, you know, I have heard people saying that it's how kind of sort of offensive for Christopher Luxon to be trying to talk at Waitangi to the people of Waitangi about the treaty as though, you know, they need to be educated by him about the treaty. And with as far as David Seymour is concerned, I mean, he knows he's not appealing to the audience when he says those things. So what, guys, I guess one of the things I'm left with thinking about those speeches is that they're very monological. They're not seeking a conversation. You know, so in a sense, to me, they're antithetical to what the treaty is about, which is really about establishing relationships, maintaining relationships, working on relationships, whereas those, neither of those speeches seem to me to be particularly interested in relationships, unless it's entirely on their own terms.
And so if we're thinking about now the majority that you mentioned who are interested in seeing Te Tiriti having the same role, or that 16% interest in seeing it expanded in politics in Aotearoa, what does building on those things look like from a political, from a legal perspective, if we're constructing a society that has more emphasis on Te Tiriti?
Oh, that's a good question. And, you know, I'm not a political scientist or a constitutional lawyer, but those are the things that come to mind. I mean, for one thing, just to sort of we need to hold the ground, and it doesn't mean reviewing the Waitangi Tribunal with an idea of, you know, disbanding it or limiting its powers even more. It doesn't have massive powers even now. It only has recommendatory powers, right? It can't make the government do anything. So it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean getting rid of the treaty out of our legislation and out of our education system and our health services and so on and so forth. So that's the first thing. And I think the other thing about the treaty now and into the future is that it, for a long time, it has been a framework and a kind of a talisman, or I don't know, you know, that has given us a focus for conversations about, ongoing conversations about who we are as a people, who we are as a nation, our relationships with each other, particularly, of course, Māori and the rest of us, and about our history. But you're asking really about the future. And I take heart from the fact that there's so many people who are positive about it. I don't have the answer to this question, but I think that any future changes to our political makeup and our political systems, the treaty has got to be a fundamental part of that. We have the frameworks that were discussed in Matiki Mai, and those are a component for kind of more conversations that can take place around what kind of future political system we might have, where the treaty is enshrined and the system is organised in ways that kind of honour that treaty.
Lastly, I wanted to talk about sort of the presentation of Pākehā relationships with Te Tiriti in Aotearoa. We've seen, you know, the ACT Party campaign especially, but also the National Party in years prior, campaign on the idea that Te Tiriti enshrines certain protections and favouritism for Māori, and Pākehā are left disadvantaged or with unequal rights under Te Tiriti. Is that the only way to view Te Tiriti as a Pākehā New Zealander, or are there more sort of ways you can relate with it?
That is so erroneous, is basically what I would say to that. I mean, but it's a common view, right? Where people used to think, you know, that Māori are getting so much from the treaty. I don't know if you know Roy Matas Mail's fabulous little book, Understanding Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Tiny little book, great resource for anyone. But she expressed it really beautifully in there, where she said that basically, you know, Article 2 of Te Tiriti guaranteed that Māori would have ongoing rangatiratanga over their communities, their villages, their lands and their, you know, their taonga, anything, things that they treasured, right? So it was basically confirming for them what they already had. It wasn't giving them anything else. In the third article, they are guaranteed to have equal rights as British subjects. So they're getting something, I guess, in that respect. But it's really us, the non-Māori, who got the most, if you like, out of the treaty because of the agreement in exchange for those commitments that the British could establish a colonial government here to govern, you know, its citizens and to be a partner, if you like. I don't know if a partner's the best word, but to work with Māori, right, to share kāwanatanga and rangatiratanga. So honestly, I think it's the other way around. We non-Māori are the ones who've gained the most from that commitment. And certainly it's played out that way because, of course, those commitments that were made to Māori were pretty quickly breached and have been continually breached ever since in terms of the kind of guarantees that they would be able to continue to hold their lands and to exercise their own authority over them, etc., etc.
That was Senior Lecturer of Sociology at the University of Auckland, Avril Bell, speaking to me about Te Tiriti o Waitangi from multiple perspectives.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.